I am, and so it is.
That we continue our gathering, time for questions and answers, time to truly absorb the energy from your shoud, time to stay in this now moment and to absorb everything that you just delivered to yourself. You delivered it nights and nights ago. And you create the environment in this reality you call your human condition, and you bring it in. Now you let it soak deeply into your system. Nothing in the mind has to be done. No force, no work. Simply absorbing it. Simply letting it go to work for you. It is all that simple. If there's anything that we can show Shambhra, is how simple this all can be. We'll give you a bit of a riddle, a bit of an understanding here about who you are, who spirit is. You see, spirit was, and now is, and is, loves, and expands, loves to find joy in creation. Yet in creation, spirit finds that everything is, and it always was. That will give you something to reflect on for a period of time. It is the basic understanding of spirit and of creation. See, spirit is this dynamic energy that always was, that changed into is when it wanted to find out more of itself, to express itself through creation. But it found creation simply is. Everything is there, and it always was there, you see. And that's where you are at right now, Shambhra, the synchronistic life. It already is, and it always was. That's allowing yourself to be the radiant creator. Always is and always was, you see. You see, we said you were like a candle, a flame. But the flame has had a metal container or cover placed over it. That metal container or cover placed over the flame represents your belief systems, represents your controls and your limitations. What happens when you place a metal container over the flame? The flame is still there, but you no longer see it or feel it. It hides. It is stored away. It is still there. But the radiance, the ability to radiate out is no longer there. Some of you have been living, instead of having a metal cover put over the candle, you having a frosted glass put over the cover, heavily frosted, so only some of the radiance can come out. That frosted glass you put over your own flame, again, is your belief systems, your limitations and your controls. Let's take that off now also. We don't want to put on anything else over that flame. You don't need to. You put things over your flame, your divinity, to protect you. You put it over the flame so you could play a game of hide and seek. You put it over the flame so you could see what it was like to not know the flame, to not see or feel the flame. But you have come to the point now, you have gained so much understanding, you say, what do I need to do next? How can I be an integrated divine human? How can I be a true creator on earth? Take off the controls, the beliefs, and the limitations. Again, let your soul have its freedom, have its expression. The surprising information in all of this is quite simple. It is that in creation, you don't need to create. In other words, there is no such thing as creation, at least not in your terms. Your terms were always such that there was a proactive outer force taking place that would cause creation, that would make things happen, that would manifest things in your life. But ultimately, there is no creation because it always is and it always was. Everything is there. Now, when you play the game of I'm going to struggle with it, it responds to you. And he said, and the energies that come back will be the energies of struggle. When you say, I'm going to learn what it's like to have to push for creation, that will present itself in your life. But you don't need that anymore if you choose. Creation is no creation. It always is and it always was. That is the spiral of spirit. Spirit was, spirit is, spirit loves to create, which always is and always was. It is a spiral. That is who you are. Allow yourself to shine from this moment on. Let's begin with the questions and see if you get Tobias or Saint Germain. What's behind door number 3, perhaps?
Dear Countess, I'm a PhD student for biology, and I'm doing my research on a plant that helps in curing cancer cells. My university wants to send the plant that I'm working with to animal experiments, and I feel very sad about it. I can't understand how finding a cure has a price of abusing innocent animals. I'd like to hear your opinion on the matter and using animals for scientific reasons. Is there any alternative, and what does this issue come to teach me about?
We'll take a hint here from the First Nation, the Native Americans, the Indians, and so many other natives, First Nations people on this earth at this time. They would eat a deer. And there was no cruelty involved because they would honor the deer or the buffalo or whatever animal would fly in or walk into their camp. You see, there was honor. There wasn't any cruelty involved. Even in the slaughter of the animal, there was honor. And especially when the food went to the mouth of the human, there was honor. It changes the whole energy. You don't have to be cruel to these animals. The animals will actually literally walk into your laboratory, giving of themselves. We said before, energy comes back to serve you, and it does, if you honor it and love it. Animals give of themselves in honor and love to be part of this tremendous discovery, new understanding. Honor them, love them, thank them for partaking in this experiment. We have to say that the type of pain that a human would feel is not at all like the pain an animal would feel. The consciousness is not around it. Perhaps the physical body of the animal responds, but there is not the consciousness that responds. So we do not think this type of work is evil or cruel or abusive to the animal as long as it is honored. It would go so far in this earth at this time, this human society that eats meat and that eats animals, if those who were at the slaughterhouses and at the locations where the animals were killed, to honor them before they were killed for their food. They would love this. It would make the food so much more energetic, and it would change the entire energetic construction of energy on Earth right now. But simply honor the animals that you work with. Love them, call them by name, and then kill them. In honor. That is what they are there for. But we're going to take that one step further. There is so much work in this area of cancer research. It is helping society as a whole truly understand what energy and unbalanced energy are all about. The reason why this cancer research goes on for so very long, when you would think with the time and the money that's been poured into it would have solved it by now, but it is literally helping the researchers understand how imbalanced energy works, how it responds. They're learning more about other things that have more value than the cancer itself. Ultimately, through the efforts of Shambra, through the Shambra researchers and facilitators and healers, they're going to learn how energy can be brought back into balance very quickly without need for all of these difficult and strenuous treatments. They're going to learn that cancer is simply a type of, an unbalanced energy that actually is very susceptible or suggestible to coming back into balance very, very quickly. The safe space healing that we've talked to you about is ideal for this type of cancer work. We thank you for this delightful question.
Dear Tobias and Adamus, thank you for the marvelous whatever went on today. It felt really good. I hope this question, and also I wanted to ask you about the Bridge of Flowers, but I think I'll save it for another day. I hope this is not a frivolous question, but I want to know what happened at my house on Wednesday evening.
We would ask so others understand if you explain a bit about it, and it's only frivolous if you consider it that way.
Thanks. I should have known that. Okay. I was sitting at my computer playing a game, and my little dog all of a sudden he goes, grrr.
How did he go?
Grrr. Grrr. Not so loud. But anyway, it startled me, and I felt this tingling all through my body. And it didn't exactly scare me, but it didn't exactly make me comfortable. And I kind of looked down the hall. It's like this huge shadow, huge energy was there. What was it? Who was that? What was that? I have a feeling I might know what it is, but I think I might have flunked.
We're going to ask you to share with us what you thought it was.
Well, since the next night, I accidentally happened to turn on the channel from December. About these energies and spirits coming in, whoever they are, energies coming in and needing to go through us so they can land here. If we don't let them go through us, they have to go away for eons and eons.
And who specifically do you assume this was?
I don't know. I'm asking you. Who, what?
But you do have a feeling for...
It wasn't you guys. I know that because I know your energy a little bit.
But you say you feel you flunked. What energies do you feel this was?
Well, I don't know if I let him go through me and land. Come in.
I'm going to ask you to take a guess at what this energy was.
Don't mess up your hair.
I don't care. I don't really know, honest. That's why I'm
indeed, and we know that you do know... But this was what you would call a fragment of your own self. It does not have a name or an identity, but it is a part of your own self that has been disassociated for quite a period of time. That you could say that it was one of your creations. Aspect that you had been disconnected with for a long time. It was what you had perceived as your shadow self or an aspect of yourself you did not like very much, and it was coming back in now. You had created a safe space. You had created a beautiful, loving energy, and was coming back in to reunite. You've all been calling out to bring back the fragmented pieces, and they do come in. And the animals are highly sensitive to these type of energies. So your dog, what was that noise that it made?
Spice, I love you a bunch, but enough's enough.
They're very sensitive, but because pets are also a type of extension of your own self, they're little shadow selves in a way. It perceived the other shadow self and didn't want to allow it back in. The shadow self you call your pet wants to have that close one-on-one relationship with you and wants to keep out the other aspects that are trying to come in. So it's also important for all of you to share with your pets that there may be some visitors coming in from time to time.
He knows.
But it was a reintegration of energy that came back. Okay. It was you It was your own, and indeed you are right. It was not us.
Oh,
we never drop in when you're playing computer games.
Really? Right, right. Okay. Was it the Hungarian, Romanian, or whichever lifetime?
It was not a lifetime per se. It was not that defined. It was more of just a portion of yourself, a sliver of yourself that has been. It has been dangling on for many lifetimes, been following you through many lifetimes, but you could not say it has a name or its own type of unique essence. It has just been a disassociated piece, not a total fragment, but somewhat dangling on, following behind you. And it has appeared at other times in your life, particularly when you were a child. It is just a part that needs the reintegration, and you have done that now.
Good. Now my knees will get well.
Thank you. I've connected with a woman who is into telepathy, and she claims to be getting downloads from some starship. Can you please elaborate what this is all about? Any insights you might have would be greatly appreciated. And maybe you should do an Ask Tobias about alien things, eh?
Indeed. The energies of what you would call the starships or the alien beings are absolutely out there. But we're going to ask you to understand them for what they are. These are, again, aspects of yourself from the past, projecting into potential futures of theirs, not of yours, but potential futures, probing and analyzing to see if the answers are found, to see if resolution has come to this whole thing called the impasse. Those aspects, which are really parts of you, though they exist in another time, in another space, they exist in a type of energetic impasse. Impasse meaning energy cannot expand. It only circles within itself. It cannot expand, and true creation energy always expands. So that part of you and others is stuck. It is probing forth. That is what you and this psychic, and that is what so many Chambra and so many New Agers are perceiving at times when you think you are getting alien downloads. It is really you. And we're going to ask you over and over, and we're going to be very emphatic and say, please understand, all of this is you. The aliens, so much of many of the experiences, like the dear woman who was just up here, it is you. Default always to you. It is you that are in your dreams. Default to the you, because it's all about trying to understand and process. These alien beings are from the past. They're not in your now. They're from your past. They are not smarter or wiser or more technologically advanced. They are far less spiritually advanced than you. And don't ever believe anything if otherwise, especially when they tell you how they've come to save you. It is a lie, alien, as we have said before. It is a lie. There's tremendous information contained in that. You can tap into it, but realize it is taking place a long, long time ago in a place far, far away.
Many times I encounter people or friends who are curious about what I'm up to, and I'm sure that's true of a lot of us here. And, you know, wondering if you have any suggestions in terms of a gentle way of sharing what this transformation is about to individuals who may not have previously explored consciousness or may not have a background, so that it's something that they can get at some level that would serve them and also communicate, you know, what we're trying to do.
Indeed. Excellent question. And it is first about speaking from the heart, not the mind, as you know. It is also understanding that they are there for a reason, asking you for a reason. They come knocking on your door. in different ways, in different manners, but they're probing and asking for a reason. They're asking because they have an internal desire also. The vast majority of humans on earth right now believe in angels, believe in spirit. They believe in some type of continuation of the essence of the soul, an afterlife type of thing. So you are all in a majority. Sometimes you feel you've had to hide away. Sometimes you feel almost ashamed or embarrassed, or you get your tongue tied when you're trying to explain what you're doing and the type of work. You are a spiritual pioneer, and be proud of it. You are spiritual psychologists, and be proud of it. You're spiritual researchers, and there's so much to learn and to know. And you're spiritual teachers. When you keep it succinct and you keep it in your words, not in the words of Tobias or Adamus, but keep it in your words, there will be an instant heart-to-heart connection. Then they will start asking the questions. That will be the perfect opportunity to continue explaining what you are doing, to continue explaining that you are God and they are God also. They're eager for this, and they're hungry for this. That's why we continue to say to Shambhu, you are the teacher. So to answer your question, it is about listening to the energy of how they ask, and it is not trying to hide anything or be defensive or think that they think that you are strange, because ultimately, truly, they don't. They want to know the answers to their questions. They want the guidance and the assistance in the spiritual journey. They want what you have to teach them. So be proud of it. And gone are the days when the witches are burned at the stake. Gone are the days where you're going to be stoned for being different, for having expanded awareness. The world wants what you have to offer. Thank you for this excellent question.
Have you been following the fundamentalist movement in this country?
Indeed, the fundamentalist movement that is taking place worldwide is literally a response to changing energy. When one energy tries to move and change, the other will have a reverse effect and will try to ground and stabilize and prevent change. It will try to hold on to the identity. This is the natural way that duality energy works. You are moving beyond that. Even where it doesn't need to work as opposing forces, you are moving into the new zone where it is expansional energy versus vibrational or duality energy. Even the ones who you call fundamentalists or the extremists are searching. They are searching in an extreme way or a very fundamental way, but they are also asking the questions. It is interesting to note that for the most part that they get into these fundamentalist or extreme movements, and they will also get out of them. This is not a lifetime thing. It does not satisfy the hunger or the thirst of the soul. So while they may be, how to say, very passionate for a period of time about what they were doing, ultimately they go back to the true search. Ultimately, they're going to come to the quiet ones, the true new energy pioneers to say, what's going on in your life? Tell me what you're doing right now. They will ask gently, so what have you been up to? You don't need to evangelize or convert. There's nothing to convert them over to. Simply share with them from your heart what you're doing. The integration of human and spirit. What a beautiful thing. Thank you.
Hi, Tobias. About 3 months ago, my mother passed away. And she lived out of state. And about a week before she died, I was able to go visit with her. And her body was paralyzed. She couldn't speak. She couldn't move. She had severe dementia and Parkinson's. And I did a dream working ceremony with her. And I did it all intuitively. I really didn't know what I didn't plan any of it ahead of time, but and then afterwards I listened to the CD. But it was really a beautiful thing, and I feel like she really knew what we were doing, understood, even though she couldn't speak to me. And so my question is, how did this help her transition, and how's she doing now, and is she coming back soon?
Indeed. Coming back soon has not yet been decided. Sometimes there is there's a period of time before a being or soul decides whether to come back, and sometimes there are other dynamics involving the family and other family members, or when they cross over that influences, but it has not been decided yet. Indeed, what you did was intuitive in the dream walking, and it made the journey for her so much more friendly and warm, less lonely and fearful. There are some zones that the being crosses through from the way on the way from the earth dimensions into what you would call the angelic dimensions. It is very easy for a being to get lost or confused along the way. In some of the harder cases in this, but not involving your mother, but we're using it as a general example. Sometimes when the spirit, the energy first departs the physical body and starts its crossover journey, there are non-physical beings that are very close around that sometimes want to play tricks or try to frighten the just released soul. And they will, it's like getting a bad taxi driver in New York City. And they will give you one heck of a ride until you make the choice to get out of that car and get a better taxi. So it is very confusing sometimes for the souls that have just departed the earth plane. They're not sure where to go to. We can only come in so close because I'm trying to explain this. We can't be right there for the human who crosses over because they're not going to accept us when they first cross over. They need the consciousness of a human in a type of expanded, altered state of being to help them make that first half of the journey over to the Bridge of Flowers. From there, we can greet that person and take them the rest of the way. So your work was very intuitive, and because of the relationship with your mother, very loving, and it made her transition here very easily. She didn't get distracted along the way. She didn't go down into any of those dark alleys. These beings who take some of those routes and get often some of the bad astral streets, they're eventually found and brought back. But it is a very frightening experience, and some of these other dimensional levels, which you would call the fourth, even the fifth dimension, tend to have some very needy and very depressed energy, but there are also some wonderful con energies in there. Now, these are disincarnate beings who do not want to come fully to our side, have learned to exist in these realms. It is subculture within itself. They don't want to go back into physical form. They don't want to come fully back onto our side. And they will resort to all sorts of trickery to try to take energy from the one who has just departed. The reason for the school for the dream walking is to help those who are learning how to do this dream walking not get caught or not be deceived on some of these other realms, how to go through some of the potential obstacles and challenges, how to keep the soul energy of the person who has just died at a very calm and balanced level, and how to tell a few jokes along the way, and how to have fun along the way. But also, one of the reasons why we do this training is there is an overwhelming desire for some of the more ancient dreamwalkers. Once they got to the Bridge of Flowers, they would come right over with the one who has just died, and now we have two on our hands instead of one. So part of the training is how to get back to the human realms. Thank you for your question.
Thank you.
can you please give me some insight on a particular health issue I have? It's a cough that I have had for many years. I'm concerned that something else may be going on. This issue is keeping me from expressing my passion, which is singing. I feel that it is ready to be released. Thank you for all you give.
Indeed. And there are two energies going on here. The coughing is a releasing. It is a letting go, but it is a very weak cough that you are practicing. The coughing also is, I have to say, trying to release the fear that you have from your singing, truly creating this beautiful thing. You are holding back, and it is affecting the throat area. And the weak little cough you have isn't truly releasing. So have some big coughs. And do some very deep breathing and start singing. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. And I have created an animal rescue on a large amount of land. And across the road, they have just passed to have a chemical aerial sprayer.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I uncreate that? Or
Indeed. Indeed. There are things that you can do to, fight this at City Hall. And there are many who will come to your support should you take this initiative. And you can, through your rather interesting and complex legal system, you can at least slow this down for a period of time. But another way to do this is to create the absolute safe space at your animal rescue. Work with the animals who are there and bring in a group of humans to create an absolute safe space where even the energies in these chemicals, these airborne chemicals, are transmuted and brought into as safe, pure, and clean energies. It can be done, Chambra. It really can be done. This is a type of alchemy, a type of transformation process that can take place. You can do both of these things. You can fight it at City Hall and always maintain your safe space. In order to create your safe energy space is similar to what we did today. You are the flame. You are radiating this pure energy. And that pure energy from the flame, the fire from the flame, the radiance, is the alchemy. It will provide the transmutation so it doesn't have to affect you or the other, the pets that you are caring for, or the other humans. You're going to be surprised as you learn to set up your safe space. And the safe space is not barriers. It is no barriers. It is no barriers, no walls. That is a safe space. As you do this, watch how your radiance actually will create some other changes with these somewhat unwelcome and unwanted neighbors. Watch to see what happens and do report back to Chambra on how your creations are working.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tobias, or whomever may be giving us the honor today, in what practical way are non-souled beings here on Earth different from souled ones? Do they feel or perceive the world the same way as souled beings? Are they aware of the different kind of status? How do you know if you or anyone else are a souled or non-souled being? Before they die and you discover what maybe they did not leave any bones behind? As you explained in the world in the Wound of Isis, souls cannot permanently be melted together or split up, and then each and every one of us is actually a group of energies or entities, as surely must be non-soul beings.
Indeed, non-soul beings are your creations that have been given life energy and essentially freedoms. But sometimes with great agendas placed around it. Non-soul beings are generally not aware that they are non-souled. As a matter of fact, they will fight all day long for the rights to say they are souled beings. Again, going back to our example, if you created a little statue out of clay and you breathed your energy into it and you can bring it to life, it is your creation. You have given it freedom, but it does not have a soul. It can never replicate what you did. It can never create another being. It can live unto itself, with itself, but it can never recreate, you see. You are a creator. Well, what you create doesn't have that same privilege or right that Spirit gave you. However, that piece of that statue that you created, that you brought to life, now will insist that it is a soul being. It will insist that it is a unique identity. You see, it will not understand what it truly is, but ultimately it's just an aspect of you. It will even try to threaten you if you challenge it. It will even try to kill you to take your energy to prove that it is real. So it's some very interesting dynamics. Some of the souled or the non-souled beings that we have spoken about in history include Abraham Lincoln, who was a non-souled being from some of the last, the last inhabitants of Atlantis that knew that they wanted to create the new Atlantis at some time, but there would be a division, and they would need a non-souled being, a representation of their consciousness, to bring back together old wounds and old divisions. And that is the role that Abraham Lincoln played, bringing back old divisions and old splits that had occurred in Atlantis. Adolf Hitler, as we have said, is not a souled being, does not exist in our realms. We can never find him here. He is a non-souled being, the creation of Hapuru, or Jewish consciousness, and that he was created through the Jewish consciousness to help carry out a very fast and a very swift type of karma, a karma also related to Atlantis. So non-souled beings do not know they are non-souled. Non-souled beings tend to, as some of you have noticed, have a little bit of a vacant look in their eye, and they don't tend to go through the emotional swings that a souled being has. They tend to be somewhat immune to physical pain as well, not totally, but quite a bit, because they don't have the true inner awareness that a souled being has. There are non-souled beings that are created from group consciousness, and there are some non-souled beings that are created from individual consciousness. There is no, certain type of tattoo that they have, or birthmark, or certain identifiable objects. And quite a few of the non-souled beings do not leave behind any bones or any body. Some of them do. Depends on the circumstances, and it depends how the physical body was co-created. Not worth going into the details here, but if anything, you can sometimes see by what would appear to be a bit of a vacant or a glazed look in the eye. The eye would be the best way to tell. A souled being has a response in their eye. A souled being has life in their eyes. A non-souled being's eyes are going to look similar to that of a person who's going to be crossing over soon, you see. The energy departs and their eyes become a little glassy, and the life force goes out even before a human dies, even before there is a quote-unquote accident. If you notice in somebody's that somebody's eye luster, the life in their eyes changes, that could mean that they are on their way out even before they go. Thank you.
Two more questions. We're
Indeed.
Running out of time.
Indeed.
Some time ago, my father passed away, and I want to know he's coming back. And the reason why I'm asking this, because in 3 months' time, there are going to be two newborns in our family.
Yes.
Is he going to be one of them?
We affirm that, yes. We typically don't like getting into this, but we're being given permission to affirm that he will be the second.
The second? Wow. Thank you.
But it is not to share this immediately. Wait till them. let the new identity or story develop itself first without the burden. Sometimes the burden can be quite too much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is a very simple one. I have had a spiritual life coach take me to this point, who I'm very grateful for. There has, due to a trauma in the family, been a separation. And so at this point, with this evolved being, is I don't want to put control on it. We have talked over this over the past few months. Is it time for us to separate now? Or is there a healing?
Indeed, this is, again, one of those synchronicities, circumstances that is sometimes hard to understand at the human level, but understand it from the overview. It is all working outward. It is time to lovingly go on your own. It is important for your own growth. Any teacher, anyone you have a relationship with, sooner or later, in honor and in love, releases, lets go, and you are free to soar on your own now. It is going to be so much better for you.
Thank you.
Indeed.
I feel like it's time for me to leave my job, and I really like this idea that whatever I need is going to just come to me, but I'm really scared. Mm-hmm. I'm a teacher and a healer, but I don't really have a good enough income flow to support me, and so I'm wondering if it really is time for me to leave the job, or I'm just trying to talk myself into this time to leave the job.
Indeed, again, as a creator, a dynamic creator, you can leave whenever you choose. Simply don't let yourself get fenced in by, again, belief systems or overlays, the overlay that you're not going to have the money, that it will not be there for you. If you truly let that job go in your heart, take away the issue of money and abundance, let it go. I mean, so pure and so trusting, let it go. You actually don't need to leave the job. It will leave you, and something else will be there that will make you wonder why you didn't leave a long time ago. So, energetically, let the job go. Bless it. Thank it for serving you. Thank it for being there in your life. Let it go. Release it. Now, that doesn't mean you have to walk in and quit or hand in your resignation. You are resigning in your heart. Let it go. And then watch how all the energies change because you've let it go with no fear. You're not worried about the money because you still have the money coming in. You've let it go. Now, that sets up all of the dynamics for new things to come in, new opportunities and new things that you can't even imagine about today. That is the wonderful way of the synchronistic living.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Two more little ones?
Indeed.
I am Mark Galias. What was it that the group of five I'm part of opened up in April, and what was it we witnessed move over the sky?
Indeed, there are many, how to say, we don't like using the term portals or even vortexes, but there are many energy pathways that are opening up right now. These are in a type, in a sense, grids or matrixes that connect the Earth to the new Earth, that connect the Earth as you know it to the order of the arc, and ultimately to the field, the source of all energy potential. As the consciousness of humanity is changing, these new pathways are opening up very quickly. And that is what you are witnessing, that one of these opening up. Through the human eyes, you're going to see it in various different ways. Some will see it as a light burst. Some will see it as a large shadowy movement across the sky. But what it is an opening that is occurring. It is new energy pouring into Earth as a potential. But we want to say something here. Humans don't need to go out and open vortexes and portals. Matter of fact, you simply interfere with a natural process, and then we have to send angels in and clean up the mess. It is almost as arrogant as Saint Germain to think that you have to go and open a portal. that you have to physically be there and chant and beat in your drums to have it open. It's going to open as a response to human consciousness. Now, you can go there. Sometimes you're going to feel drawn there, like that new energy portal is inviting you to be there for its birth. Go there to celebrate the birth. Don't go there to struggle. We have to laugh, actually, on our side. We have a good chuckle sometime with your humans. You go there with so much love and determination, but you go there struggling to open the portal like it needs this struggling energy. And we laugh and laugh and laugh. And we come and clean up your mess afterwards and have the real portal open. Go and celebrate the new energy coming to Earth. Go and celebrate some of these connection points, these points of separation that are taking place, and have a grand celebration there, and then watch again what happens in the sky. Watch the energies move differently. There are going to be both bursts of energy. There is going to be what you call glowing kind of moving energies, and there's going to be also very dark, shadowy energies. The dark, shadowy energies are not negative entities, by the way, coming to Earth or surrounding you. Sometimes there is an appearance of a hole or a void in the sky that even appears to move at times because sometimes in these transmutations of energy, it appears that all of the light is being removed, and it is simply a time of changeover. In a sense, it is like a death cloud, not death to the human, but death to an old energy way that moves over. That death cloud gives way for the birth of the new energy through these portals. So thank you for your wonderful question.
Last question?
Yes.
Hi, Tobias. I have been intently working on releasing my story lately. And it has not been a comfortable journey, and especially for my family. What can I give to them that would be beneficial to them that might not be obvious to me?
Indeed, they are so desirous of your love and your attention and wanting to be with you that in a sense it hurts them to see you change. There's something at the unspoken inner levels within them that is somewhat frightened and concerned. They think that you're leaving in a way, if not physically, then that you're leaving energetically. So they feel the transformation that's taking place within you. This is also like a glue. It is holding you back in a sense, because you can feel what they are feeling. You can see yourself through their eyes changing and leaving. And in a sense, you're going through your own withdrawal sufferings about your own story changing. The story changing, the release of energy, is not a death at all. It's not an annihilation of your story at all. It is simply letting go of energies that have been restricted and confined. We speak of so often of releasing, of letting go. That is not denying something. It is not getting rid of something. It is taking the clamps or the locks or the barriers off of energy, that base that you created on your potter's wheel is locked into energy, and it wants to be free to re-express and redefine itself, maybe as another vase, maybe as a different object altogether, as a broom, as a cup, maybe as a piece of glass or anything. We use that example to say that the energy that you have locked up as yourself, as your story, now wants freedom. It wants to re-express itself continually. What you are experiencing right now are the pangs of letting go. The family, it's a symbol of yourself, really. The family doesn't want to see you go. You don't want to see your old self go. Just breathe through it and let it go. Assure yourself and your family that you're just releasing energy that was stuck.
but it'll always be there. It'll always come back and serve you. You don't have to say this with words, but through your actions, let them know you're still going to be there for them. But more than anything, remember that this difficulty that you're having, that you say is with your family, is really about yourself, with yourself.
Thank you.
Indeed. So, Shambhu, it has been a long and a wonderful day. We have totally, thrown Kaudra in out of sorts with trying to channel two energies at once. It is, presented him with some new opportunities and observations. It's been a delight for both of us under the name of Countess St. Tobias to share this stage together. We will now remove ourselves from one back into two. Bless you. Thank you for being here. And so it is.